G'day, Simon. How are you?
Oh, I'm not too bad, thanks. How's the week been?
Been a busy week. There's been plenty of great achievements on the track over the last 7 days, and just quickly through them, on Sunday at Wagga, Blake Jones drove a double. We went to Fairfield for the penultimate meeting, the second last time that they raced at Fairfield for their Golden Easter egg, and on that day we saw Shane and Lauren Tritton train a double. Amanda Turnbull drove two winners, and Kyle Edwards and Mick Towers combined with a couple of winners as well, so it was a job well done for them. Then Tuesday we had Menangle. John McCarthy and John McCarthy trained two winners, and Todd drove three, continuing his outstanding success at the moment, Todd McCarthy. Bathurst on Wednesday, we had Amanda drove three winners. Steve trained two winners. Steve Turnbull, but drove two winners, but trained four. So what a night for the Turnbulls up there at Bathurst, which is pretty much the norm. Tamworth, the Isons combined for a double. In fact, Tom Ison drove three of those winners up at Tamworth. Bankstown, the Sydney Cup. Kevin Pizzuto and Todd McCarthy combined for a double. And on that occasion, we also saw an effort by at Newcastle, Clayton Harmy training four winners. Darren Elder trained a double, and Brett Elder drove four. So some great efforts there at Newcastle. And then we went to last night, Matt Craven with three winners, made a visit to Menangle, trained and drove three winners, and the McCarthy show rolled on. John and Todd McCarthy combined for a double, and they won the first race with Lord Zinzan yesterday, who was sent around as a short-priced favourite.
Yeah, John McCarthy's going to join us shortly, Fred, but just on Fairfield, I just wanted to get your thoughts. What do you think will happen with the track, you know, over the next few years? It's because it closed down a while ago and it became a training track, but now they have the odd meeting there. Do you think it'll be there for years to come?
No, the council are actually acquiring the land, as I understand, and they've got other plans for it. So Fairfield, it's gone.
Oh, okay. So
yeah,
no more.
So their last meeting is the 12th of June. It's the time-honoured J.D. Watts Memorial. And it'll be the swan song, the last hurrah for Fairfield, and quite sad. I well documented last week when I was on that it was the first place I called a race, and I'll be very sad to see Fairfield go.
Yeah, okay. Well, before we get John on, Freddie, let's have a listen to his win at Menangle last night with Lord Zinzan.
But it's Todd McCarthy and Lord Zinzan approaching the final bend. It leads the way by about a half length on Epaulette being put under pressure. Millwood Liberty hasn't spent a penny. He's had a cosy smother up behind, but he says go now on the favourite. And Lord Zinzan has got about a length clear. Epaulette, Millwood Liberty, and Mouse in the House is hitting top gear up on the inside. Third split was 27.6, and it's Lord Zinzan below the 100. It's nicely clear. Second on the inside is Mouse in the House trying to get through, kicking back strongly Millwood Liberty, but too good. Lord Zinzan, first favourite in, beats Millwood Liberty, about a head in front of Mouse in the House third, and then for fourth we had both...
So Lord Zinzan there, Freddie. Did it look like Epaulette wanted to try and cross and get to the lead when they came out of the mobile?
It sure did. Epaulette's been driven for speed at its last four or five runs and has been responding very well to the driving tactics adopted by Martel Maguire. But last night, look, Lord Zinzan, we've got to remember, and we'll chat to John soon. Lord Zinzan, on Tuesday last, became the newest member of the Sub 150 Club in a great race with Anything for Love. They had a great battle, and in the end, it was Lord Zinzan winning it by a slender margin, and they broke the 150. He's an outstanding horse. He placed in the Chariots of Fire, and no doubt there's been issues which we'll touch on with John, but no, Lord Zinzan was able to find the front, and then from there, Todd McCarthy dominated. And look, we talked about, we had Todd on 2 weeks ago, Simon, you know, Todd had a slow start to the season. He had a bit of a holiday, a bit of a break, and then he had some injury issues with a collarbone. But since he's come back, he's just driving. He's picking up probably six, seven winners a week easily, and he's had another good week. He partnered Lord Zinzan, and then he partnered his dad's other runner that was successful last night, Rucker Razor.
But McCarthy drives a confident race on the favourite, Raka Razor. And Raka Razor, she swings the final bend in a 28-4 split and goes for home. My Lucky Bell second, then Talk Lively. Sapphire strides into the clear at the right time. And looking to the outside, running home is BD Windermere. But Raka Razor will get to the 100 metres in front. Sapphire Striders really trying to weed up the ground, but too good, too fast. Raka Razor goes all the way to beat Sapphire Stride. Or nearly a dead heat for third. Picabello's lunged at Talk Lively.
So Raka Razor to the eye there. Fred seemed largely unchallenged.
Yeah, definitely good effort by Raka Razor. She's a quality race mare. John's done a good job since he's had her. She's won six of her past seven. And she's just, doing so well in that mare's grade at the moment that she is a little bit on the dominant side. John's got a couple of good race mares, Raka Razor and, of course, Cyclone Kate. So he's got a pretty useful team around him at the moment, John McCarthy.
And John McCarthy joins us now on Pacing Rewind. John, good morning to you.
Good morning. How you going, boys?
G'day, John. Congratulations on the week that's been. It's been a pretty solid week. We'll start with Lord Zinzan. Of course, I was just mentioning he ran second to Have Faith in Me in a Chariots of Fire, but obviously has had a few leg issues.
He has, Fred. He done a suspensory in his offside leg to start with, and then we sort of got him over that, and we brought him back, and he had really only one run, proper run, and he done the other leg. He done a suspensory in that leg. So we've been at him for quite a while now, and he does a lot of swimming. He's a hard horse to train, but with a bit more with racing and that, he's really starting to get a bit fitter now.
So pretty much your training, your day-to-day management of him, John, it tends to be that swimming is his best friend.
It is, Freddie. He sort of can't do much work on the track. Them suspensories, they're funny things. They're hard to manage a bit, but he does a lot of swimming and walking, and that's pretty much, it's not ideal, but, it's hard to get him, where I really, really want him, but while we can keep racing him, he's starting to get back up there.
Would I be right in suggesting then, John, based on what you said then, that he's probably not 100% rock-solid fit? He's fit, but to get him to where you want him to be, he's not quite there, and he's still running 150s.
Yeah, that's right, Freddie. His heart rate's always, up a fair bit, and that's because he sort of doesn't do much, no track work, and we've got to go with what we've got, and if he can keep getting through the grades a bit, and he's sort of like a run-to-run proposition, really. You sort of every time he races, the next morning you go out and you think, geez, I hope he's okay, but touch wood, so far he's holding up.
Okay, so on that score, how was he this morning?
No, he's good this morning. I'm just watching him. He's having a little walk on the walker there, and he's walking really normal. So he's a stallion, so he's a hard horse. You really can't sort of let him out in the paddock. He's a real boy a bit, and, he sort of run around and hurt himself. So we just sort of just swim him and walk him.
All right. So you said you're going to work him through his grades. Have you got anything in mind for him coming up? Is a Queensland trip on the agenda?
No, I don't think so, Freddie. I probably wouldn't travel away yeah. with him the way he is, because I've sort of got to have the right facilities to train him.
Sure.
And while he stays at home here, he's sort of got everything here. And, I'll just keep racing him at Menangle. I'll probably run him again next week. He's better off racing week to week, and I don't have to do anything in between with him. So other than swim him. And, I'll probably throw him in next week. There's a... the ball I cut, whether he gets a run or not, but I'll probably throw him in that, and I know Tiger Tara will be in that, but he's a quality horse. I'm not saying he can beat that horse, but he wouldn't disgrace himself.
Absolutely. Raka Razor, she's done a great job and continues to work through the grades. She dominates those mares races at the moment. She's won six of her past seven. Tell us a little bit about her, John.
Gareth Dixon from New Zealand sent me Cyclone Kate, and he also had Raka Razor, and they're limited to they're pretty hard racing over there. Mm. Once you get sort of C2, C3, it's real tough going. So, but he sent her over, and I'll mainly targeted the mares races. But to be honest with you, she's probably not quite as good as Cyclone Kate, but she's only a length off her, by next season, I expect her to be sort of right up there with her.
Okay. Where, have you got anything mapped out for her, or again, is she just going to pick her way through the grades?
Just sort of go through the grades. I'll, she made the final of the carousel next Saturday, so that's why we raced her last night, just
yep.
to give her a pipe opener for that. And, she'll be competitive in that race. She can follow good speed, and she's sort of a versatile thing. She can sort of do a bit of everything, but... she's a nice little mare, and I like to keep the mares to the mares races if I can. It's a bit hard. I don't think they should have to race the boys, but sometimes you have to. But I'll just try and pick and choose some good mares races as they come.
Did Cyclone Kate win the carousel? I'm just trying to think back. Did she win the carousel last year?
No.
All right. Cyclone Kane. Okay. She won a good race at the carnival. Is probably what I'm thinking of.
I get a bit of Alzheimer's. I think I can't remember what I done yesterday, so I'm just glad I remember that.
Yeah, I'm with you, John. I'm hearing you. But Cyclone Kate, what's the news with her?
I was going to trial her yesterday, but she got kicked tomorrow. But she got kicked, and we decided we'll go another week. And there's a race coming up at Menangle on the 6th, which is a feature mares race. I can't think of the name of it now, but it's a $30,000 race, so she'll be back for that. So she'll probably just trial on the Tuesday before it and race on the Saturday.
Terrific.
There's some good mares races coming up in Melbourne. You know, there's two down there. We'll ship it down there for those.
Yeah. Now, just on a personal note, John, you're an old butcher, or as they say when they collate, you're a Dello Retchetub. For those that don't know, butchers have their very own unique way of speaking and their own little lingo. So, John, you shut up shop about 20-odd years ago and you decided to give horse training the caper a bit of a go, and a personal milestone on Tuesday, 2,000 career training winners. Well done.
Yeah, that's right, Freddie. I'll be honest, I didn't really realise until you guys sort of mentioned it the week or so before, but we never keep records, but... No, it's good to get that number up, and you know, like you said, I sold my butcher shop and started training. I'm 58 now, so it was about 20 years ago, and then you know the boys left school, and that was a really big massive help when Luke left school, and he came and joined me, and then Andy as well, and you know it's a big family effort. Like we are a family show, and you know, you just can't do it without the kids. You got to. It's really, really hard. And the boys have all, you know, took to driving and done good at that. And it just makes it easier to get the winners, Fred. You know what I mean?
So, yeah, I've actually written here in my notes, family affair. I was down there, you know, securing your time this morning, last night between races. And I think you were gearing a horse up. Todd had just come off the track, and I think wife Narelle was in the middle of hosing one down in the wash bay.
Yeah, well, Relly's always getting in there helping. She's our best worker, we always say. But
you have to say that, John.
No, she is. but you know, as far as the training side of things, and you know, like before Luke went out on his own, like you know, he's a good trainer in his own right, Luke, and you know, it was easy to get the winners. We had a good team up there too. We always worked anywhere from 30-odd to 50 in Queensland.
Yeah.
You know, we had some good seasons there to get the numbers up, you know.
Yeah, because you did obviously spend the major part of that 20 years in Queensland. You've come back down to Menangle and you're based there. How many horses are in work now, John?
I usually stick around the 20, Fred. We sort of can't handle any more than that, so
yeah.
It fluctuates a little bit, but 20 is sort of a good number for us.
And what about just on tracks? I mean, we see now, we talked about Lord Zinzan breaking 150, and obviously, you know, the times now, 152 is you know, pretty much what they would run, you know, the old 159. You know, they come out now, these young horses, and they're running 153s, 154s. Is it the breeding? Is it the big tracks? What's the major difference? Is it the technology in maintaining tracks that we see these super quick times from when you first transition from the butcher shop to the racetrack?
Yeah, the tracks make a big difference, but you know, you look at times on any track today, Freddie. Like I look back at Albion Park and the times they run there now, they never ran them times when I was up there. You know, like even Blacks of Fake and Beagle Johnny were flat out. I think the fastest he ever went was like a high 53. But I think Blacks of Fake even broke 54 at Albion Park. Now you see COs, C1s, C2s do it regularly, and I just think. I think the breeding's one thing, but I think the drivers drive way more aggressive these days than what they used to. You know, like when I was at Albion Park, they never drove that way. You'd burn out and you'd get a middle section and then they'd come home. But now it's just like they just cut them loose the whole way. And I think if we keep driving horses like that, you're going to keep seeing faster times as well, you know.
Mm-hmm. All right, John. Well, it's been quite a ride, 20 years, 2,000 winners. You've got some of the best that are in work at the moment running around the tracks here in Sydney. You've won all the big races on the calendar, and I'm sure there's plenty more, and I appreciate you giving us some time this morning on our Pacing Rewind segment.
No worries, Freddie. It's a pleasure.
Good on you, John. One of the good guys, Simon, John McCarthy. He's personal milestone of 2,000 wins. And as I said, he said, it's a real family affair. As I said, I spotted his wife, hosing down a horse in the wash bay. I think it was Rucker Razor, in fact. Todd was getting ready for his next drive, and John was putting the gear on the next horse, and Luke was a couple of stables up doing other duties. It's a real family affair, and it needs to be in the sport of harness racing.
And in the butcher shop, Della Rechitab, they speak backwards or something. Is that the code?
Yes, you've done your research. I referred to John as an old butcher, Della Rechitab, but they have their own little language. I've got an uncle who's a butcher and a few mates that have been butchers along the way, and they... it's a little way of speaking between each other behind the counter.
So no one can really pick up what they're saying.
No one. I've probably given the game away now, but no one can really understand what they're saying. So if I walked in, they'd say, "Oh, look at this little taffy," meaning this little fatty.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't know. I'd think, "Oh, they're offering me chocolate or something." But anyway, no, they're good guys, the butchers. They make the world go round, and John McCarthy, a former butcher, doing well in the harness racing industry.
And then you'd order kilos worth of snags and chops and cutlets and things.
That's the one.
Now, I see Lazarus won again the other night in New Zealand.
Keeps on keeping on, Simon. And, it's all systems go for Lazarus and the All-Stars. Look, just on next week, we've got a massive night. John alluded to Lord Zinzan possibly running in the Bulleye Cup. Now, the Bulleye Cup's a Group 2 race. We more than likely will see Lenny the Shark, who trialled at Menangle last Tuesday in that race. Tiger Tara, who won another of the Carnival of Cups races on Friday, the Schweppes Cup, and horses like Lord Zinzan and a few others I suspect might sneak up from Melbourne. It's going to be a cracking race, the Bulleye race. But there's also a Group 1 APG $322,000 race for the two-year-olds. And last night, we saw the semis. Lumineer has won 4 from 4. Sicario, one of the Purdon's horses, has won 3 from 3, and Higher Than an Eagle has won some races in Victoria and has been very good. Those three set up a mouth-watering clash in the two-year-old race, and geez, I can't split Lumineer and Sicario at the moment. One's got this real talent to find, good gate speed, and then looks like it's got something in its hair, up its sleeve, and then you've got Sicario, who looks like a real tradesman, tough dower type. It's going to be a great race on Saturday night.
Good stuff, Freddie. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks very much for your time this morning, and enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Just before we go, Simon, West Wyalong, good luck to them. It's their Carnival of Cups TAB meeting today. The Cup race is a cracker. Wish them well, and good luck throughout the week, folks.
Yes, we'll have Courtney Rees on just before midday with the preview there for West Wyalong. Thanks very much, Fred.
Cheers, Simon.
13 minutes to 11 in just a moment. Stuart Turner, and we'll take a look at greyhound racing.
Sky Sports Radio brings you the very best in thoroughbred racing, and this Saturday, the very best is at Hawkesbury. Saturday morning from 6:30, catch Ron Duffercy, Ray Thomas and Paul Joyce with all the Hawkesbury winners here on Sky Sports Radio, 10:17 a.m. Are you ready for the 2017 Darley Scone Cup Carnival?
Friday, May 12, features the Cup, the English 2-year-old Challenge and the Noel Leckie Country Cup.
Saturday the 13th is highlighted by the English 3-year-old Guineas, Emirates Park Dark Jewel Classic and 4 listed races, plus fashion and fun galore.
Book your hospitality package or race day tickets now at sconeraceclub.com.au and be trackside for City Class Racing Country Style. May 12 and 13.
Greyhound racing takes place all over the world,
but Australia leads the way for sheer quality.
Stay with Sky Sports Radio, your racing leader.
It's time to check in with Stuart Turner from Greyhound Racing New South Wales. Stewie, good morning.
Morning, Simon. How are you going today?
Not too bad. We didn't quite have the big Easter Cup, the Easter Egg Carnival at Wentworth Park last night, but nonetheless, some decent racing.
Certainly was, and there was one trainer definitely smiling at Wentworth Park last night, Simon, Christine Proctor, because she scored 2 wins there last night in race 1 with Sound Advice, and later in the evening with a greyhound who's really catching the eye now, Chevy King. Now, you may remember he won the Group 3 New Sensation last week, and he was in pretty good form last night as well. He clocked 29.86. With another great run, they beat some really class opposition as well. But you may remember, Simon, we used to talk about Christine's greyhound, Bessie Boo, regularly on the show. Well, but maybe she's got another star in the making here.
Let's have a listen to Chevy King winning race six last night, the free-for-all.
Racing, Chevy King got away quickly. Vintage Rock's away in a hurry, but Chevy King's driving hard. Ran to the lead by three. Vintage Rock's going to second, then Good Odds Bricky Magic Spring making ground. They'll follow it up by Royal Turbo, El Magnifico, Good Odds Regina and Jason can see them all. They're on the top corner. Chevy King bowling along and got away from Vintage Rock's, followed by Good Odds Bricky and Magic Spring, but Chevy King, oh, isn't he in great form? He's going great guns. Chevy King by 2.5. Good Odds Bricky.
Yeah, Chevy King there for Christine Proctor in the free-for-all over Good Odds Bricky and Royal Turbo. What do you think Christine will do with Chevy King now?
Well, it'll be interesting to see because there's a few big races coming up, Simon, but that Greyhound, I think, has now won 8 of his 17 races and he's in great form at the moment, so he's definitely one to keep an eye on. In the other action there last night, there was a good win for Chase the Cash, another promising Greyhound who's building a strong record. Chase the Cash, probably one to watch in the Group 3 Ladies Bracelet Heat at Wentworth Park this Saturday night. And just as well, Simon, there was another win over the 520 metres for Mr. Twister. Now, this Greyhound really starting to fly again. He's had a couple of wins over the last 10 days in absolutely brilliant times as well. He's definitely one to keep an eye on, Simon.
And as far as any of the other performances go from Wentworth last night, I see Dean Swain's runner won at the odds of about $1.70, Miss Foxy Lee.
Yeah, that's right. Miss Foxy Lee, of course, been one of the best stayers over the last year or so in New South Wales, Simon. And, yeah, that was another a great win for her last night. But, as I said, I was really impressed with that run for Chase the Cash as well. She's one to keep an eye on, and Chevy King as well. I think he could really be maturing into a fine greyhound.
Going back to Friday night, Stu, we had Dubbo Gold Cup heats on.
We did. We had four of these over the 516 metres, and there was some great action out at Dubbo. No doubting the star of the night, Simon. Falcon's Fury producing a scorching run, going just outside the track record in his heat. He really is a wonderful talent. Remember, he won the Bull Eye and Bathurst Gold Cups earlier this year, and I think he's going to be a pretty short price favourite in the final.
Racing, beginning cleanly from out wide was Falcon's Fury, crossed down at the post on the first occasion and led by three Slamming Thunder. Up along the inside, Kilky May, then came Fire Bee, wider off the track, Rose Petal Czar, Ashton Cruz, and last of all out the back there now, what is Better Call Sloy on the up the side, they spin, and it's Falcon's Fury. He's on the arm, he's running some time, he's 7 or 8 in front as they spin for home. Falcon's Fury, the good thing of the night, bolts in.
Falcon's Fury there for Paul Braddon, taking out that heat of the Dubbo Gold Cup. And as you mentioned, Stewie, the most impressive of the heat winners.
He certainly is, and gee, when he gets it right, Simon, he's such a brilliant greyhound to watch. He's capable of just some amazing times. And look, wherever he jumps from in the final, he's going to be the favourite. The box draw for that wasn't done on track on Friday night. It's going to be done tomorrow. But as I said, wherever he jumps from, he's going to be the favourite. I think one of the others that's catching the eye for me, Simon, is Mitra. He ran a good time to win his heat as well. He's won 3 of his last 4. And his trainer, Neil Staines, having a great run at the moment. As I said, the box draw for the Dubbo Gold Cup out tomorrow on the dogs.com.au website. But look, Falcon's Fury has got to be the one to beat in that one.
And the final next Friday night?
Yeah, that's right. So Dubbo, the place to be on Friday night. It's going to be a great night out there.
Now, looking ahead to Monday night, we've got the Group 3 Nowra Summer Puppy Classic on.
We certainly do. The big racing continuing in New South Wales tomorrow night. Great racing in store down at Nowra. And, mate, I'm happy to report that we're still earning our keep because our pick on the show last week, Panel Beater, well, he qualified as a heat winner last Monday. Now, he's got box 7 in the final. I know his trainer, Gary Edwards, wasn't exactly turning cartwheels when he saw that draw. But, look, he still looks a big danger for me in that final. One of the locals, Panel Beater, I'm going to stick with him for the Nowra Puppy Classic.
Let's have a listen to Panel Beater's win from Nowra last Monday.
Racing last out was He's a Gangster. Panel Beater's begun a lot better than Seeming. Bold Opal and Baronelli have come across. Oh, they all fan and shuffled out the back. Bold Opal in trouble. So is Like a Valentina and Shinzalaker. And Panel Beater bustled up and headed him up and raced forward in front down the back from That's Five Rivers, and he's a gangster. Four lengths away in the field, then came Barrett and Oliva, followed by Bold Opal. That's Five Rivers was checked and dropped back. Like him, Valentina, and she's a lake of it in the straight. Panel Beater's in no danger. Panel Beater by 7 lengths.
That was last Monday, Panel Beater winning. So, Stu, you said that Gary Edwards not overly happy with Box 7.
No, he wasn't ecstatic with that one, Simon. Much preferred Panel Beater from inside. But even so, I still think he's a great chance. For me, it's probably in between two greyhounds, this one, Simon. Panel Beater in 7 and Big Black in Box 8. Big Black was a terrific heat winner last week as well. But let's stick with Panel Beater for tomorrow night's Nowra Summer Puppy Classic. Just two other interstate series to mark your card as well on, Simon. We've got the semis of the Group 2 Warrnambool Classic over the 460 metres on Wednesday night down in Victoria, of course. Lightning Frank, one of the best greyhounds at the moment in Australia, one to keep an eye on there. And then on Thursday night, we've got the Group 2 Bogey Lee Futurity final at Albion Park. $40,000 up for grabs here for the winner. And we've got a New South Wales greyhound to cheer on here, Joyce Rumble. Now, she's won 7 of her first 8 starts. She's going absolutely great guns. And she flew home in the heat last Thursday night. Her trainer, Steve Kavanagh, doing a great job with her. Joyce Rumble from Box 7, probably the one to watch for me in the Group 2 Futurity at Albion Park on Thursday night.
So that's Albion Park this Thursday. The Tab Fixed Odds do have a market on the Summer Puppy Classic tomorrow, Stewie. And Big Black's $2.30, so favourite ahead of Panel Beater there at $3.30. Tiny Terrace drawn Box 1, $7.50. Tempo De Niro from Box 3 at $5. And La Chica Pekina from Box 6 at $8. Outside of Panel Beater, Big Black, is there anything else that you think could win at bigger odds?
Look, Tiny Terror definitely catches the eye. That greyhound's been going absolutely fantastic up at Maitland in the last recent months. Been going, well for Cheryl Bett. She's doing a great job with some of her promising greyhounds at the moment. I just question whether Tiny Terror can run out the 520 metres. It may be a little bit far. Donna Campbell has 3 chances there. And you did mention La Chica Pequena, who has been running some good races at the country tracks, but as I said, for me, Simon, it's probably between Panel Beater and Big Black. Big Black was fantastic in the heats last week, ran 29.92, a great time, the fastest heat qualifier, and it's just going to be, I think, who's going to come out best between those two. But I'm still going to go with Panel Beater. Let's stick with our pick. I think he's a class greyhound, this one. He's got the knowledge of his local tracks, and he's in good hands with Gary as well, and I think Gary will be celebrating the win tomorrow night.
And having a look at the New South Wales meetings coming up over the next 7 days, first of all, we've got Goulburn on Anzac Day.
We do. We've got loads to look forward to this coming week as ever. Of course, we've got the Twilight meeting down at Canberra later today, and then tomorrow it's Bathurst, Grafton, and that super meeting at Nowra. Tuesday, it's Goulburn, as you mentioned there, Lismore and the Gardens. Wednesday, it's back to Richmond and Wentworth Park. Thursday, they jump at Maitland and Dapto. Friday, we've got meetings at Casino, Richmond, the Gardos, and Dubbo for the Dubbo Gold Cup. I'm really looking forward to that one. And then Saturday, they jump at Bullite, the Gardens, and Wentworth Park, which features, as I mentioned, the heats of the Group 3 Ladies Bracelet, which looks an absolute cracker. So loads to look forward to. And, of course, for all your field form and expert picks, it's thedogs.com.au.
Thanks very much for your time, Stu. Enjoy the week ahead.
You take care, mate. Bye-bye.
It's 1 minute to 11. We'll take a break, and then Kel O'Rourke will find us a couple of best bets for the Twilight program for Canberra this afternoon. We'll have Peter Staples for best bets for Hobart. Their first race is due at 20 after 11. And then Mick Wallace will take a look at Dubbo.
Heading into winter, Sky Sports Radio brings you the best in racing and sport.
At the 300, did you give them a cheerio? What did you say?
No, not this week.
From Slacks and CK on the Big Sports Breakfast weekdays to the Big Sports Breakfast weekend every Sunday morning, you'll hear the key players from all our winter sports. Racing HQ, Hunter's Postmortem, Going Greyhound, On the Pace, Chasing and Pacing Rewind. Bringing you the latest in news, interviews and tips. This is Sky Sports Radio, 10:17 a.m.
Bruisey, mate, you're looking good. What have you been up to?
Just been shaking it.
Shaking it?
Man shaking it. See, Murph, you can lose the beer gut without losing all the beers.
I'll drink to that.
My 3 weeks' worth of the Man Shake, and I'll throw in an extra week for free. So buy now at themanshake.com.au.
Sky Sports Radio has the perfect recap of your week